Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sahastra Electronics Solutions Limited H2 FY25 Investor Conference Call, hosted by Hem Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Maheshwari from Hem Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Sejal. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning. I welcome you all to H2 FY2025 Earnings Conference Call of Sahastra Electronics Solutions Limited. Today, on the call from the management team, we have with us Mr. Amrit Manwani, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Varun Manwani, Director of the company. Also, a reminder that this call is being recorded. I would now request the management to brief us about the business and performance highlights for the half-year that went by, the growth plan and visions for the coming year, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Before we go on to the main call, I would like to read the standard disclaimer. There may be forward-looking statements about the company and subsidiaries, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company's management on the date of this call. The company does not assume any obligation to update their forward-looking statements if those beliefs, opinions, expectations, and other circumstances should change. These statements are not a guarantee of the future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Consequently, listeners should not place any undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. Now, over to you, Amrit sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to all the investors and shareholders of Sahastra Electronics Solutions Limited. The last 6 months were quite out of turmoil because of the global political situation, this situation in the U.S., the change of U.S. administration, which led to a lot of uncertainty, particularly in our business, because we are quite focused on exports to the United States and other parts of Europe. That led to uncertainty, and therefore, there was a little bit of a dip in our revenue, and also it led to a dip in our margins, which hovered around 9%. Apart from that, what we have tried to do is increase the revenue domestically, where the margins are particularly rather challenging, and therefore, the result of the second half of last fiscal year has been below expectations. However, going forward, what we would like to do is that we have invested in R&D. We have created a new R&D department, and we have been recognized by the Department of Science and Industries. And therefore, going forward, the investment in R&D would help increase our margins and create an enhancement of revenue as well as margins. Besides that, we have also invested in our HR department. We have taken some key personnel who would help us grow the business both domestically and globally. We see going forward in the next year, that is the next fiscal year, 2025-2026, we see about 30% growth in our revenue on a standalone basis, but together with our subsidiary, which is Sahastra Semiconductors, we see a growth totaling to about 180 crores in the next fiscal year and with a gross margin of 15%. We will also be initiating a merger with our non-listed company, which is in the same business, and that should add to increase the shareholder value of all the investors in the company. Lastly, what I would want to say is we have been sanctioned capital subsidy, or we have been given approval for capital subsidy by Government of India for our semiconductor plant to the tune of about 25%, which amounts to about 23 crores. In this fiscal year, we have already applied for that grant, and we expect that in this fiscal year, we will be obtaining subsidy to the extent of about 23 crores from Government of India. That should help us reduce our loan with the bank and therefore be able to increase our breakeven in Sahastra Semiconductors. With these initial remarks, I would like to hand over to Mr. Varun Manwani, who will take you through our specific plans, both in terms of revenue and other initiatives that the company is taking to build a stronger base for the company. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to all the investors and participants on today's call. As has already been explained by our chairman and through the numbers that are available to all of you, yes, last year was a bit of a damp year for us. However, you know, I would like to assure that the fundamentals of the organization remain strong. If you look at the presentation that we had shared in the first half of the year, it showed that in the FY 2024, our exports were, you know, 80%. Sorry, FY 2023-2024. So our exports were about 80% of our total revenue. And close of fiscal 2024-2025, our exports came down to 51%. And that is where, you know, we had a dampening in our profits and also our revenue. Having said that, as our chairman already shared, that while there is global turmoil, you know, with the implementation of the tariffs that have been imposed, that had led to, you know, a slowdown in terms of the customers wanting to take decisions in terms of placing their orders and, you know, some of the decisions that were with respect to the tariffs. Having said that, again, the good news that we see therefore is that all of our customers are very much still connected with us. We have not lost any customers during this period, and all our discussions with the customers are, you know, positive around continuing the business as well as growing the business. In the meantime, during this financial year, we have bolstered our manufacturing capacity a lot more. So today, instead of four lines, we have six SMT lines. And therefore, our total capacity is up to about 3.5 million units. And therefore, the expectation in terms of growth that we're looking at with our customers, we should be able to, or rather, we are well poised to be able to, you know, fulfill the numbers as and when they come. In the meantime, while there was a slight dip, however, we did pivot ourselves towards the second half that we, you know, pursued a lot more of the domestic business, which is also visible in the numbers. And therefore, you know, we did, while we saw that there were headwinds on the export side, we, you know, looked at the tailwinds on the domestic side, and therefore we picked up a lot more domestic orders. Now, when we talk about the domestic business, we got into a couple of new segments. So we've forayed into the EV sector, and we tied up with a specific customer for making EV chargers, which are being made at the Bhiwadi facility as we speak. So that is a new area that we forayed into. In addition, we are also looking at certain automotive ancillary sectors, such as vehicle tracking systems, such as GPS systems, which also go on automotive solutions. So these are some of the new areas that we have pursued. In addition, in terms of the certification, which gives more confidence to our customers, we also got ISO 27001 certification, which is for the safety, which is the information security and management system, sorry. So that brings in a lot more confidence to our customers that in today's times when there are extreme cyber threats, our organization is well poised to be able to mitigate such kind of threats. As the chairman also explained that, we've added certain, individuals in certain sections, not only in the R&D department, but also in other other areas of quality manufacturing operations to strengthen our operational abilities and to be able to manage the growth that we are all anticipating. In terms of the R&D activity that we are pursuing, I'm happy to announce that we have been able to design and develop India's first SPI TPM module. This is a it's a module which goes along with motherboards, which we are already developing in parallel, and therefore this will help India more towards its goal of Atmanirbharta. And this module is now developed, ready for commercialization, and therefore we are currently sampling it with a lot of our customers, and we are also going to work with the government departments on this particular platform, and hopefully that gives us further push in our IT hardware pursuance. Also speaking about the memory business that we are doing, both in terms of the EMS activity as well as the memory activity that we are conducting via semiconductor operations. We have tied up with two companies, and we are in the process of tying up with three more companies who will be our customers for the Make in India micro SD cards as well as other memory and storage products. And these are large volume customers both within India as well as for export opportunities. And these will give us the necessary volume that we are looking to bring in at our semiconductor operation, which will help us get to the break-even level. And these are large marquee customers, which shows that, not only do they have confidence in India, but they also have confidence in our abilities. Considering, just to come back to the topic on exports, considering that there are some headwinds, from the US in terms of the challenges and the flip-flop in policy in terms of the tariffs, therefore we had already in the past looked at focusing on certain other markets. And one of the markets where we started to pursue was the United Kingdom. And we have made considerable progress in that market. And we have signed up a couple of large projects with some customers. And these are key customers with whom we are having strategic relationships so that we can enhance the business beyond just a buy-sell relationship. So we are looking at many other opportunities with these couple of customers. So with this, I'd like to end my remarks. And thank you, Bhumika, and thank you, Sejal.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anudeep Dava from Equinox Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had two questions. One based on your guidelines, which have been said that you have achieved, you will achieve 130 crores in the electronics segment and 50 crores in semiconductors, which is almost a 5x jump for the semiconductor segment specifically. My question is the merger which is worth 100 crores the reason, or you can throw some light on the future contract?
Okay, Okay. So I'll take the business part of the call and maybe our chairman can answer the rest. So the growth from 10 to 50 crores, which is indeed 5x, as I just explained, that we are looking to work with certain customers, marquee customers with large volumes, and that is where we are seeing the growth in revenue, because micro SDs are high-value products. And when we look at the larger volume, that will definitely help us work towards this particular revenue target. The second is that at the semiconductor operation, it is not only going to be the micro SDs, but there is going to be a mix of micro SD and some of the other non-memory chips that we are targeting. So, for example, we are looking at DFN and QFN devices, which we have already sampled and developed with certain customers. And we are expecting to get their orders very soon. And these will be customers where these are pure OSAT projects. So that will also contribute to this overall revenue.
So does this include the 100 crores of mergers you had mentioned earlier?
Can you repeat your question, please?
So the merger will add the boost the revenue by 100 crores.
Yeah, this is the merger of the existing non-listed EMS company. We are planning for the merger, and at least we will initiate the merger process within this year, subject to regulatory clearances and approval by ROC as well as SEBI. Once that is approved and the merger takes place, besides whatever forecast that we have shared in the presentation to all of you, this will add revenue of about 100 crores to the overall revenue of the listed company.
All right. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Gupta from Mahadeep Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, is my voice audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, actually, I want to share the main concern, main issue which is happening since the IPO, whatever guidance and whatever things are mentioned by the management is not getting fulfilled, and the investors are getting only surprises in the results. So the main concern is whatever guidance and projections and plans you are giving, how we will be able to trust the same, because what I am expecting is that the merger will be delayed, and this financial year also, maybe the investors will be sitting in the loss. So I want to know the definite thing that how the business is going to shape up. Are these losses going to continue in the H1 of FY26 as well?
So on a standalone basis, the listed company did not make any loss. It had a profit of about 10% to the extent of about 9 crores. And going forward, we expect growth in revenue. We have a very modest growth projections of about 30-35%, and the growth and the profit margins will hover around 15%. Combined with the semiconductor business, where we now have, as per what we had committed, that we will increase our stake in that semiconductor company. Today, we have about 73% shareholding in that semiconductor company. The semiconductor company also showed a revenue from 2-3 crores to about 10 crores last year, and we expect that that will go up to about 50 crores this year. And we will have achieved a break-even in the semiconductor company. So combined with a combined revenue of 180 crores, we expect that we would at least have 15% profit margin from the listed company and a break-even from the semiconductor company.
Those numbers are, I got it. I saw that in the presentation as well. But the main thing is execution. Like, how much we are confident of executing this? Like, how can we trust on these numbers? The reason being, if you see the last 6 months journey, whatever has promised, almost like a majority of the things are not fulfilled. And even you can see the price movement of the stock from 1,000 rupees, it is now at lower circuit near at 310. So the main thing is execution. So there I'm having the concerns that how can we assure or how much confident we are of achieving the projections of FY 2026 or whatever you have mentioned. So, Mr. Ravi.
Go ahead, Ravi.
Yes. So, Mr. Ravi, I'll first address that point, and then maybe Chairman can come in. So, when we had given all our guidance earlier, we had mentioned that, yes, we will be looking towards consolidating the firms. And therefore, as a first step, we took towards consolidation of the semiconductor entity. And as of today, your company has acquired 72.7% of the semiconductor arm. And thereafter, we are looking to increase the shareholding to about 85%. So that particular activity was put into place and was executed. Now, considering the regulatory and other compliances, we can only go step by step. And therefore, as has been documented and shared, that we will now be moving towards consolidation of the unlisted EMS arm as well, again, given regulatory compliances and approvals. So we will put that plan also in action. And whatever time that it would take necessary, that is the period. So we will actually move towards execution of that. So I wanted to address that point.
Yeah, and to address your specific concern about execution, this year, that is beginning of 2025-26, we have seen some stronger numbers in terms of our order booking from exports. So we feel reasonably certain that we will be able to achieve a 30% growth in this fiscal year, number one. Secondly, as far as your point about market price at the stock market is concerned, I really can't comment anything that is for the market itself to determine what level it stabilizes at.
That I understand, that market price is depending on the market things. But don't you think that merging the 100 crore EMS company along with the semiconductor company was the good step for the sake of shareholders' wealth? Because if we could have merged that company earlier, then today, I think that on a consolidated basis, the numbers would be in the profits. Or we could have seen a better protection of shareholders' capital if we could have merged the EMS business earlier in the last financial year itself.
The other EMS company, which is non-listed, the merger requires, there were existing shareholders, very large shareholders. We had to work with them. And consequently, only recently we have been able to acquire, as our family, we have acquired about 86% shareholding in that company. Therefore, it becomes easier for us to approach ROC and other compliance agencies for regulatory clearance and approval. We will be initiating that this year. Last year, we were negotiating with the other shareholders for them to reduce their equity, which we have succeeded in achieving. It took longer than expectation because there were other shareholders in that non-listed company who we had to negotiate with, and we had to convince them that this was a better route. So that is why it has taken a little time.
So are those shareholders a related party, like part of the relative group from the management side? Or they are independent?
private investors. Yeah, independent private investors.
Okay, and how we are looking at H1 of this financial year, 25-26? Will that mean the loss or will that be profitable on a constant basis?
Yes, yeah, so as I said, we were not in the listed company. We did not make a loss even last year, so there is no question of having a loss in the first 6 months. As a combined entity, including the semiconductor business, there was no profit. But as we go forward, as Varun also explained, that we see a growth in revenue in semiconductors. Varun can answer it better. As we see growth in the numbers, on a standalone basis, there is no question that we will not make profit. We'll certainly continue to make profit. But as a combined entity, we will strive very hard, even for the first 6 months, that we do not have, we definitely have a book breaking, cash breaking, if not a book breaking.
Okay, and when is the AGM of the company? Because I am also from Delhi, so probably I can attend face to face.
So the AGM is I think
23rd June.
Okay, that will be face to face AGM or virtual?
This will be a virtual AGM.
Okay, please try that maybe once in a year, because only once in a year shareholders can meet. So if possible, AGM can be held in person, because I think there are many investors who will be keen to join the AGM as well. And yeah, that will be request from the my side regarding the AGM.
Sure, we will check with our company secretary and get back to you. You know, whatever is the statutory requirement, we will definitely follow that.
Okay, and one more feedback regarding the results PDF. If you see that the PDFs are not clear which were uploaded, so maybe from the next financial year, on the request, please upload a clean and readable kind of PDF of financial results.
Point
okay, so shortly you will be getting an annual report, published annual report. So your concern about non-clarity of numbers would be done away with. So you will get a hard copy of the annual report.
No, that is fine. Actually, the numbers are numbers. If company would have been profitable, then it would be a great. But yeah, looking forward, if AGM can be held in person so that we can have more better clarity.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paras Cheda from Purple One Vortex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. One is on just the entity that will be merged. What is the current EBITDA margin and PAT that will make on that one?
You are asking about the semiconductor company?
On the private company. Yeah, on the private company.
A little lower than the listed company, because there also the revenue went down more. So the EBITDA was about 15% and the net margin was around 7-8% if I recollect.
Okay. So, sir, basically, you know, as I see this, and you can probably correct me, our EMS model, the business model in the EMS, which was heavily reliant on exports to US, is out for a toss. We are hunting for markets, most likely UK, as we said, or India could be one of the markets. But clearly, the EBITDA margins will definitely suffer on that account, provided we are able to even catch up on the revenue on the EMS side. So, the EMS business model itself has to be stabilized first before we sort of become reasonably confident in terms of the revenue growth itself. And secondly, on the semiconductors part, sir, we've invested certain funds in setting up the unit. But as of now, what I see is again, you know, on that one, the demand for our products or, you know, the semiconductor facility is yet not picked up to the extent that it should have picked up. And we have certain investment plans for the EMS, about 60 crores in the new production line and some 200 crores for semiconductors in the phase two. So, you know, I'm trying to understand that as of now, the business model is yet to be established, proven and, you know, stabilized. We are planning to invest further in these two sectors. How do we look at this situation, sir? Because this target of 180 crores and 325 crores for the next 2 years, of course, seems music to our ears. But it's just difficult to conceive, you know, on the EBITDA margins of about 30%, 15% PAT margin, because we know what kind of market we will be sort of now trying to target. How do we achieve these numbers, sir? And what gives us the confidence to invest further in EMS and semiconductors as a business?
Varun, would you like to answer or do you want me to take this question?
You can go ahead and I will you know, put in my points after you.
Okay, so two things. One is that we will remain export focused because we believe that with our you know, technical value add that we provide to our export customers gives us better margins. Yes, there was a little bit of uncertainty because of the change in U.S. administration and the tariff, you know, war that had begun. That is going to stabilize. And in fact, it might, in a medium term, help us because the U.S. administration is quite keen to reduce its dependence on China. And therefore, the Indian industry, in the EMS industry, should benefit out of it. Because of uncertainty, there was you know, slowdown of orders, but that has started to pick up. And going forward, we are very confident that the U.S. exports will pick up. And that is evident by the fact that we started getting orders, which are you know, clearly indicating that the business will pick up again. That's number one. Number two is that even in the domestic business, we are seeing growth. So as we have said, as we have given the numbers that next year we will do somewhere around 130 crores and going forward in the 2 years thereafter, we are looking at 175 crores and 250 crores. So to cater to that kind of volume, we have to invest and we will be investing judiciously depending on how the revenue growth takes place. We will invest accordingly in the EMS business. Now, coming to the semiconductor business, we have completed by and large the first round of investment. Semiconductor, because there was no semiconductor industry in the country, so most of the customers are, you know, they are waiting for us to prove ourselves in terms of quality and delivery. So the offtake of semiconductor business is rather slow, but going forward, we expect, as we have said, from 10 crores that we did last year, we are going almost to 50 crores in 25-26. And the 200 crore investment that we are planning thereafter in semiconductors is based on the ISM scheme of Government of India, where they have increased the capital subsidy from 30% to 50%. So for a 200 crore project, we will be investing only 100 crores from our side. 100 crores will be provided as subsidy from the government on pari passu basis. So once we have that kind of investment, we are again, as we have said, that we are looking at 250 crores in the next 3 years. So with that, we are definite that we will be able to achieve a cumulative between both the companies, that is the EMS company and the semiconductor company, by 2020. We look to about 500 crores in sales revenue.
Sir, just a follow-up question. Basically, our capacity utilization itself is low as of now. And I understand there is benefit on, you know, CapEx on semiconductors, but that only, you know, obviously makes sense when there is, you know, capacity utilization demand for our products, you know. So what we sort of need is aggressive marketing, then sort of capacity creation. Of course, capacity creation does make sense at some point. But if we try to grow within India itself, you know, although your focus is on exports, I do understand, the EBITDA margin of that 30% could become a little bit challenging. just to summarize sort of, you know, what is the kind of run rate monthly as of now, because 2 months have passed for this financial year, on the EMS and the semiconductor business as of now?
Varun, would you like to answer that?
Yeah. So, Mr. Paras, first, I'd like to address the point on semiconductor, which, unlike EMS, is a highly capital-intensive business. And because it is greenfield for us and greenfield for the country, you know, it requires, you know, some time to stabilize, because it is deep manufacturing. It is not only, you know, like EMS is, you know, assembly business, so it's faster to initiate. But when we come to semiconductor, there's a lot more time that goes into convincing the customer, setting up the process and procedure, going for various kinds of approvals, and then, you know, being able to convince the customers on the production volumes. So in the last 2 years, since we, you know, in the last 18 months, since we productionized some of these packages, we will start to see the, we will start to see the fruits of these packages today. For example, and I will not name the customer per se, but we've just signed up a contract with the customer whereby it is for a fleet management customer, and there they are looking to you know, acquire over the next 3 years about 500,000 micro SD cards from us. So these volume projects will start to come in, based for which there will be investment from a capacity enhancement standpoint. The basic capability investment has already been made. In other areas also where, let's say, as we spoke about the QF and DFN package, customers are obviously already sourcing from other markets. And for them to make a change to India, while the global scenario and geopolitics is in favor of India, but yet nobody will want to take the risk of just moving, you know, the package to us. So there is a very long-drawn cycle that we have to go through in terms of approvals, etc. And even this particular case, as I just mentioned, we've been at it for about 12 months, and it is now in June, July where we are, where we will start to really see the orders coming in. So yes, capacity utilization today is low. However, you know, the projections that we've given are based on the projections we have from our customers to which orders are getting executed, and therefore we are, you know, if you look at last year, our revenue at semiconductor was 2.5 crores and then it went to 10. So that was indeed a 4 times growth. And here also, again, we're looking at a 5 times growth based on these numbers that we are being assured of, and our marketing teams are working with these customers. On the EMS side, yes, your suggestion of looking at the Indian market is also well taken, and that's something which we you know, started to pivot ourselves mid last year. So we are targeting Indian opportunities. And so some of the opportunities that I explained, which were the, you know, the EV chargers that we started to build, GPS trackers, etc. These are all the Indian opportunities that we have been able to look at. Also coming to the point of, you know, what's the current situation for us. So based on the projections we have given, for FY25-26, our order booking is already to the tune of 40%. And considering that we are at the end of 2 months, you know, we think that's a healthy order book based on these projections. So, you know, we should be able to meet the targets that we have given for this year.
So as a full year, you would be reasonably confident of achieving even 80-90% of this 180 crores, you sort of think that?
Yes, absolutely.
And what's the EBITDA margin on the semiconductor business that has grown to 10 crores now?
It's about 15%. See, the bulk of it, you know, why it, the losses occurred was, it was mainly because of interest and depreciation. And as I explained earlier, we are expecting in this financial year, we will get a capital subsidy of about 23 crores. So that will go a long way to reduce the interest burden. And with volume growth, we will be able to achieve break-even.
Right. If you're able to grow the business, I think that takes care of most of the things. But, I mean, business and at a decent margin itself, the entire business is being recalibrated, let me put it that way, for at least EMS, and semiconductors has to be seen how does that pick up. But, you know, I mean, we're optimistic with you, you know, hopefully we'll be able to sort of...
You have given some very valid points, but on a more macro scale, the semiconductor growth in the country is going to look very healthy. In fact, if I give you the macro numbers...
Semiconductors, it's got a huge potential. It's just that how do we gain traction into the business?
So we have, you know, the approval cycle is long. But once we get a customer, as you know, Varun was mentioning, we have a customer in Europe with whom we have worked for almost a year now, and now we are seeing fruits of it coming up, and we expect that going forward we will get volume business from them, which will be quite profitable. And similarly, there are some other customers, both domestic as well as overseas, who are looking at larger numbers. So semiconductor, at least in India, because of the lack of any ecosystem, will be a slightly patient business. But once it takes off, there will be no looking back.
Right. So my only request is that, you know, further investment obviously has to be sort of, because I understand semiconductors require huge investment, but I mean, unless and until the business and the capacity utilization grows, you have to be cognizant of adding capacity and adding capital over there. That's my only suggestion.
Absolutely. Good suggestion. And we will definitely go by that.
Yeah. And as Chairman also mentioned, that while we have mentioned those numbers, we will be judicious about the investment. It is only when we reach a point where the capacity utilization is good enough and we see that there is enough of a requirement to add more capacity, that's only when we will actually go ahead and do that.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I mean, the way that I look at this one is that your EMS was basically the cash cow, and on the back of which, you know, you could have grown the semiconductors business. Now, the EMS itself needs to be stabilized first, and therefore, you know, getting into growing big on the semiconductors without stability can be quite, you know, risky for us. And so that means that, you know, once the EMS is very well established and the capacity utilization picks up on both businesses, obviously capacity can be added in short periods of time. But I mean, at the moment, I think the focus should be on growing the business by all means.
Yeah, correct. So that's why we have only invested in two SMT lines, although initially the provision was there for 10 SMT lines, but we have only put two SMT lines. Once the capacity is utilized, then we will look at future investment in EMS.
Right, sir. Fair enough, sir. I'll come back in a few. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sonal from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Sonal Minhas. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Good. Thanks for putting that question with you, getting answers. First question was more with regard to the merger of the semiconductor business with the parent. I think some part of that was done in H1, some part of that is being going to happen in the next financial year. Wanted to understand, was there a payment?
Sorry, sir. We lost your audio. Can you please use your handset?
Hi, am I audible now?
Yes. Yeah. Are you on your handset, sir?
No, I'm on my handset. Is it okay now?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Okay. So my question was that the merger that is happening, in which we are buying out investors in the subsidiary company, in that process, has there been a payment done to you, particularly the founder family? That's the first question.
voice was a little muffled. I don't know whether others heard it, but Varun, if you have heard it, you may be able to answer. I didn't hear the question properly.
I'll repeat my question. As a part of the merger, there was some part of equity has been bought in the secondary sale and being consolidated with the listed parent. Was there a payout done to you, your family directly?
No, the answer is no.
There was no payout done to the family. The shareholding was purchased from other investing company, and that the investment was made by the listed company, so there was no payout to the family at all.
So the other investing company were you and your family members shareholders?
No, it was another investor. As per the initial guidelines of Government of India, when we had got the capex subsidy, we had to have a 26% shareholding by another company in the same segment. So this was a capacitor company out of Pune who had invested. So the listed company bought the shares from that company. The family was not involved either as a recipient or as a buyer.
Got it, sir. Sir, the valuation at which we are buying this at, and this is something which I wanted to understand, there is a capex of the order of around 100 CR, which has happened, give or take. And the revenue last year was 2 CR, now it is 10 CR. What is the valuation at which this stake is being bought at?
So it was bought at par. And it was based on the valuation done by an independent valuer, considering that there was some erosion because of the losses. However, they have their method of doing the valuation in terms of future growth. The valuation was done by an independent valuer at par. So the shares were bought by the listed company at the par value.
Got it, sir. So my follow-up question with regard to guidance, also wanted to understand that given that the semiconductor business is a longer lead time business in terms of initial discussions to that leading to confirmed orders, what is the confirmed order book we see for that particular business as we sit right now? If you could share a ballpark number, that will be helpful.
So, as Varun mentioned earlier, that we are looking at two or three segments. One is the LED light segment. The other is storage. And third is the memory. All three put together, based on the order forecast given to us by our customers, we are looking at a revenue of 50 crores.
Yeah, it's a 20% order book confirmation as of right now in the semiconductor business.
So roughly 10 CR is what is the confirmation, and then it is rolling as you deliver this.
Yeah, it is obviously spread out over the entire financial year, but there's a 20% order book confirmation.
So right now we have a confirmation of 10 CR from the clients basically.
Yes.
Right now.
Because the delivery cycles are shorter, so a three-month window of orders is considered fairly, reasonable. These are not, products where we require 6 to 8 month delivery, where the order books have to be very strong, stronger in terms of number of months. So a three-month order booking forecast. A firm forecast is considered reasonable in semiconductors.
Got it, sir. So just a question, and I don't know whether our guidance is something.
Sorry to interrupt.
For listed company.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We lost your audio again. Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry, there is a bad network maybe. I have a last question. This is more an observation that forward guidances, which you've seen that there are macro drivers which basically change the end output on revenue and PAT. Forward guidances typically don't work well in capital markets, and hence the kind of guidance that you have given for the future, it brings a perception that there is something. You are on a hyper growth trajectory, but missing that also has the repercussions on the other side, as the other participants were saying. So just as a discipline on which is a financial prudence, basically, that whenever you do give in the next H1 any forward guidance, it should be more right than actually based on what the macro trends that we are seeing. That's about it from my side.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good comment and observation. The only way that we can respond to this is the best of companies do not forecast or did not anticipate the U.S. administration, seesawing stance on tariffs and other developments that have taken place globally. So those macro developments that have taken place was not foreseen by anybody, but your comment is well taken.
Agree, sir. And so you come from a fairly reputed background and pedigree, so that is I think the background of the founders is essentially basically on what people are banking on here, and hence a sense of being conservative goes along with the assumption on the numbers. Thank you.
The next follow-up question is from the line of Paras Chheda from Purple One Vertex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just one query that I had is that, let's say the semiconductor does an EBITDA margin of 15%, and given that on the EMS side we are sort of scouting for markets, whether India or Europe or other markets, probably a 15% EBITDA margin is what we'll be able to there as well. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, in terms of your forecast of about 30% EBITDA margin, how do you sort of plan to achieve this? This may be an internal target, but I mean, how realistic that EBITDA margin could be?
So as I said earlier, two things. One is that we are having an export focus, and going forward we will have a judicious mix of export orders and domestic orders. And in export and domestic combined, the way we are forecasting an EBITDA margin of about 30% is on the basis of the value add that we provide. As I said, that we have invested in R&D, and that is that will improve our position in terms of margins and both EBITDA and net margins. So we are expecting those EBITDA margins by virtue of giving more value add, technical value add to our customers.
Right. And sir, out of this 130 for EMS and 50 for semiconductors, do you anticipate this as sort of equally divided between the two halves, or that would be more second half dependent?
Can
you repeat that last part?
Yeah, no, what I meant to say is that there is a projection of, let's say, 130 CR for EMS business and 50 CR for semiconductors business. Now we have two halves, first half and second half.
Yeah.
So do you look at it as equally sort of more or less divided, or it's more lopsided towards the second half in terms of delivery of these numbers?
Let me answer that.
Sure.
If I may, I would say that it's not lopsided, but typically we would expect 40% of that target in the first half and 60% in the second half. It may change depending on various factors, but that is typically the trend that we have seen in the past and going in the future.
Yes, that's actually exactly what I was going to say, that yes, there will be more revenue realization in the second half, because the order booking that, as I just explained also, that we have 35% to 40% order booking as of today on the EMS side, but these are orders booked, a lot of them are booked in the recent past, and so their execution typically in the EMS business happens 2 months later because we have to source components and all of that. The softness in the export business continued right till the end of the fourth quarter of last financial year, you know, because of the tariffs and, you know, uncertainties around that. So those orders started to come in only during that period. And so the second half, we will definitely have more, but in the ratio that our chairman explained, it will be similar to that ratio.
Sir, just one query additionally on that. That of course the tariffs have impacted all the EMS players and the export business to the US from whether China or other countries. What does the customer eventually do there? I mean, his demand is not being met. Is it that our market share has gone to some other players, or how is the business poised?
So there are two things.
That one is unmet demand, which has to be fulfilled.
Yeah. There are two factors. One is that in certain cases, customers are trying to push out their orders till there is, you know, better clarity on, you know, the way forward. So it's not that the orders have gone anywhere else only, but they are trying to manage in the interim to somehow push out their order making decision. Because at some point of time, it was that India was at 26%, then it goes down to 0%. Then other countries which were higher tariff percentage also came down. So they are uncertain. So that is one factor. Second is that from a 2021 initial months of 2021, right up to you know, end of 23 or even early 24, when the semiconductor shortages were there, it started to taper off, and so a lot of customers had excessive inventory, which they've been trying to burn through that inventory over the last year. So some of that inventory is probably at the end of the burn-off cycle of these customers, and hence we've seen repeat orders coming our way in these 2-3 months. So we are seeing that a lot of repeat business is starting to come back to us, which, as I said, is burning out of the stock, and now you know, being more clear that definitely China is not the long-term strategy, and so they have to move to us. But perhaps some people are still being a bit careful, considering that India got a reprieve for 3 months, and so what happens you know, post that 3 month period, which is early July. So that's where we see, you know, things will start to pick up a bit more. In addition, in India and US are obviously negotiating the bilateral agreement, and that hopefully will have positive outcomes for all of us.
Yeah, because ideally, as of now, in my understanding, the impact of tariffs as we speak as of now is not there, other than the uncertainty that exists. But in reality, I think that you can guide us better, but as of now, there is no tariff impact in place, other than the uncertainty. And if anything, I think India is sort of better placed than the other countries in that sense. So, do you look at it this way? And whether, if that is true, whether there could be a huge surge of orders back to us, or the market share has moved away somewhere else? You know, that has to be sort of understood well. I'm just trying to understand that, because as you speak, India is better positioned than others.
Yeah, so to the first point, that yes, as of today, there is no direct tariff. Sorry, please go ahead.
Yeah, no. What I wanted to know is that we had a pre-tariff thing, and as we speak today on your exports, do you have any tariffs that are applicable on our products?
So, to your tariff thing, yes, as of today, the 26% tariff is not applicable. However, in the EMS business, there is a cycle of 3 months. So in that very first 10-day period till the tariffs were you know, brought back to zero, a few of our customers who got deliveries during that period, they got hit with it, right? And so you know, they were really hurt with that kind of thing. And over the last couple of months, we've been looking at re-strategizing with customers. So while they may want to give orders today, but they are concerned that by the time the delivery period comes, which is again 2 months or 3 months later, and if at that time the US administration brings back a tariff to a high extent, they will get hit again. So that's the reason where I said that there is uncertainty. To the second point, that yes, you know, people are burning through their stocks and so they have to order with us. And today we are definitely better poised than, you know, let's say China is, because the tariffs are indeed higher there. And also we are trying to work out value add solutions, trying to do more and more component development within the country, with local players, so that we can, you know, there can be a trade off of that tariff impact, if at all. So we're trying to renegotiate certain contracts without compromising on our margins. The third aspect is that, yes, these bilateral agreements, you know, will work in favor of the country in, you know, on the whole, but there could be expected headwinds. Therefore, we are also looking at, you know, the Indian market and other markets, so that we can, you know, we can look at having, so rather not have over dependence on the US market, and we can also look at other markets which our focus in those areas was much lesser.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varun Manvani for closing comments.
Thank you very much, Sejal. I would like to take the opportunity to thank all the participants at today's call, as well as all the investors. Your company is, you know, very much looking towards correcting the situation. Yes, there are headwinds, but there are also tailwinds. And we have, you know, while your company is slightly younger, but overall as a group, we have been in business for 25 years. And there have been some ups and downs. And so we are confident that while this is a slightly down period, we will come back to the up period again. The semiconductor business, we would request everyone to have slightly more patience in this journey. It is a longer term business with a very different maturity cycle. And, you know, we are heavily invested in terms of not only capital, but also our time and energy. And soon, you know, you will also hear some positive news around this, which we will be able to share with you all. Please, you know, continue to have the confidence in the company, in the management. Our bearings are extremely right, and we will improve from this position, and you know, we will be sharing information as and when necessary, and keep the guidance as realistic as possible. So thank you everyone once again for attending today's call.
Yeah, I would just like to add just one line, that the senior management as well as the middle management has over 25 years experience, both in the non-listed and the listed company put together. And with that experience, we are working towards increasing the shareholder value. So as Varun said, you know, there should be confidence from the shareholders that we would definitely grow and meet up the shareholder expectations. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Sahasra Electronic Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.